Perkins Solutions, which is a technology division of Perkins School for the Blind, is developing an iPhone app that will allow bus travelers who are blind to more precisely locate bus stops. Louisa Aguiar is Director of Products at Perkins Solutions. She's going to describe the project and explain how you can participate to provide input and feedback to her as this project goes along. And then I'm going to demonstrate the product in its current form on my iPhone.
When I was working at Perkins Solutions, a colleague of ours, and you may know Joanne Becker, I don't know if she's come to this meeting
before.
Joanne, she came to my office and said, I have a challenge for you, Louise. I use my GPS and my iPhone and I get to where I think the bus stop is and I'm standing there and I'm far enough away that the bus just kind of passes me by. Maybe the bus driver doesn't see you as part of the bus stop, they think you're doing something else, or you know, you're too far away. So we talked to additional colleagues and found that it was a fairly common problem. And is that something that you found to be a challenge?
Oh, okay.
That's good news. So we're on the right tracks. We looked at what was out on the market. As you guys know, there are different apps. We just heard about Catch the Bus. And most of those are predictive arrival types of apps, which tell you how many minutes till the bus comes. Taking the best of that and adding some navigation and information became our goal. And the way we decided to approach this, after looking at a bunch of technologies, was to start with something very simple as a foundation for a first version of this app, and that is to try to use crowdsourcing to identify landmarks that are in the bus stop sign proximity. And that would potentially give you some clues, which are physical landmarks, that would be able to identify things that are adjacent to the bus stop. So that when you use your GPS system, it's squishy around 50 to 30 feet. The accuracy starts to fall off. It can't be that precise. And that little zone of 50 feet or 30 feet radius is called a micro navigation challenge. And sighted and non-sighted people have the same problem. We get to a certain point and we can't see exactly where the doorway is. We don't know how close we are to the actual taxi stand or bus stop. And so for sighted folks, we can look and see and then navigate our way. But we decided that so we could do something to complement that GPS and cane travel with micro-navigation features and put it on the iPhone. Back in the fall, we applied for a Google grant, and we were given one. And it was really a nice win in that we could spend some time developing this app. So we're working with a mobile app developer in Boston called Raise Labs. They're very very good at what they do. And they have a lead iOS developer who's visually impaired. So he understands voiceover very well, as do Jerry and Joanne and some of the others who are testers for us. And basically what this app will do is list nearby bus stops and route numbers based on your current location, which allows you to quickly find those no matter where you are. And then can also store your favorites for later use. It's easy to reference the bus stops either for your frequently used ones or ones that you want to find out what's nearby. And then we have a feature that allows you to get the real-time arrival of those buses coming to your stop. And we identify those by route number as well as the last stop on that route. Joanne tells me that that's a little unusual and it helps her understand not only when the next due to arrive, but ensure you're heading in the right direction. So I liked that. We sort of built that in and didn't really realize that was a good feature. So you can search for your specific routes and bus stops, get an estimate of how far away the bus stop is from your current location using GPS. So you may open it up and say, I'm looking for the closest bus stop. Oh, it's 150 feet away. While we've been doing alpha testing on this app, we learned that most of the testers liked to identify their GPS location based on an intersection and then sort of get a sense for how far away the bus stop was. Was it 2 feet, 150 feet, 1,000 feet, just in general? And then maybe go back to their GPS app, navigate closer, and then flip back into our app to know when what those specific clues were. The app will tell you about 5 common landmarks on either side of the bus stop, which seem to be the quantity that testers wanted to form a mental map of the objects immediately around that bus stop. And it also could tell you 2 or 3 words describing sort of less common landmarks, additional landmarks that aren't really the common things that somebody would find. We can also tell you the pole shape and the material that the bus stop's mounted on. The bus stop sign, we can tell you if the sign is on grass or dirt, whether it's on the inside of the sidewalk, away from the curb, and then switch you in and out easily, seamlessly to Apple Maps, Google Maps from within the app. Those are the micro navigation features for the user. We also have built a whole set of screens for crowdsourced clue contributors, which, by the way, can be sighted or non-sighted. So if you're standing at a bus stop and you're waiting around and you're bored and you want to add a few clues, we're happy to have it. We are, as I said, are currently in alpha mode. And then next up is a sort of a heavier testing time, what we call it beta in software development. And then we plan to post a version one of the app to the App Store probably in August if all things go well, and then publicly announce the app itself in September. We're doing 2-week sprints, so things are changing every 2 weeks. But we'd be really happy to have anybody that's an iPhone 5 Plus user with iOS 9 or more on their phones. If you guys want to give Jerry your emails, we can give you access through TestFlight, which is the Apple development platform, as long as you're comfortable using an app that isn't totally complete yet and giving us some feedback. We'd be very happy to use it. Joanne says this is all she uses now for predictive bus arrivals, which is the part that's fairly finished, and the next part will be giving people clues. So what I would have loved to have done is some sort of an approach with beacons, which would have given us an audio signal, or I've looked at things like camera recognition, and those things are all possible for future releases. They just aren't there yet, and we follow the academic research and other research pretty closely. So,
can you just tell us at all if you've kind of done this independently, or have you kind of talked to the T at all, and do they have some interest?
So we have talked to the T. I am actually talking to their disability office, and I am going to present at their advisory group meeting later in June. They're very excited. As you know, the T needs good news. They would love to have the opportunity to help us amplify the availability of this and talk about it in their constituent groups, and I think they have a big Twitter audience, so they've been very interested in helping us market the app.
And maybe if they could help to get more people to donate the clues.
I'm all for that, and Perkins has a big volunteer ecosystem. We have, in fact, a big testing team from Tufts Health Plan going out on June 16th on bus route 70 and 71, which is near Perkins. And they're going to be the first group to try to crowdsource clues. Our volunteer office is really excited to have a project that can be done anywhere, anytime, any day. Now we can send them out and say, while you're walking, while you're biking, while you're driving, you don't even have to be on the bus in your neighborhood, go around and find the bus stop, click on a button and get us a GPS reading, enter a few clues as to what's there around that bus stop, and upload it. It goes to our Amazon Cloud service. We're trying this in Boston first, and it's a little daunting for two reasons. One, there's 8,000 bus stops on the MBTA system. There is very little standardization what the bus stop sign is actually mounted on. It could be a metal pole, it could be a wooden utility pole, it could be a cement pole. And I was like, okay, so now we have to crowdsource what the pole itself is. And then I asked about their data, and unfortunately their longitude and latitude data is plus or minus 1,000 feet from the middle of the road. It's something they're very aware of. They actually have a survey starting to try to get more data. It's definitely been one of those pilot cities that's probably got all the worst case scenarios. But Google's all about scale, so they would like us to try a second city as well.
I just want to double check. Is it TestFlight or Hockey that we're using?
So we, Jerry and the Alpha team, which Jerry's a part of, have been using Hockey. But TestFlight will make it a lot easier for folks.
Yeah, I agree.
So what we're going to do, we go to the Tufts Health Plan volunteers. We didn't force their sales and HR volunteer people to go through Hockey, but we will do TestFlight. You can move into TestFlight on the Apple platform when you're closer to beta. But if you tell Jerry when you give him your email what bus route you typically travel, if there's one. We have favorites by Perkins, obviously, 70 and 71, but I know there are others, and we will ask volunteers to tackle those routes.
Have you thought about pushing in the mobility instructors? Because they don't have a lot of this information in their notes already.
Yeah, we talked to a few mobility instructors at Perkins. The challenge was orienting the user to, we decided the street was like the right orientation. Because if you're standing at a bus stop, left and right can be different depending on which way you orient.
So is your orientation facing the street or
facing the
way?
Facing the street or the route of travel is on your left shoulder or on your right shoulder. So you designate which your route of travel is, where the street is on your route of travel in the app itself. And then you can orient yourself to that or indicate which way you're traveling
to do Bluetooth custom.
So what we've designed is a series of radio buttons that you click on if their clue is there. So people aren't entering a lot of free-form text. They're actually clicking on, I'm going to make
start
it up, bench, fire hydrant. We tried to figure out the most common landmarks
start
and make
channel.
It very binary. Either it's there or it's not, to make it accurate. However, that said, we did leave a 2-3 word free-form space for, I mean, Lexington has, where I live, has these huge barrel planters in the middle of the sidewalk. And not many towns have those. So that might be something unique to Lexington.
Some towns have the indoor bus stops.
That is a bigger challenge. Yes, like Harvard Station.
Yes,
you know, the bus pulls in, Alewife. I think Jerry, when we were doing our initial research, was the one who said it was really challenging when there's 5 buses parked aligned and you can't figure out which one is which and they're not really at the right spot when they're supposed to be. I think what we're going to have to do is find more funding and do more indoor navigation. For right now, we're not trying to tackle the indoor navigation.
So Quincy Center, for example, is outside, but it's both. Does that also...
Will each one be a separate...
Well, that's a great question. I'm going to take a look at that.
Yeah,
what if you're going under the inside.
Yeah, but it might...
Yeah, you're inside,
but I think wouldn't be outside enough to be GPS.
You know, I don't think you can get GPS there, but I think...
Quincy will be the case.
Okay, Quincy. And which other one? Somebody else mentioned?
Andrew?
And Forest Hills.
Forest Hills, yeah. That's outside.
All right. The trade-off when you hand off GPS, because if it's too far away, there's no way someone's going to know 50 clues. We have to use some other technology to navigate the space where the GPS is denied. Version 1, you know, we're going to try to tackle the ones that seem like the core use case that we can get to outside, and then we're going to have to work on a system for inside beacons or something different.
I think
my question is that when these clues are uploaded to the cloud, how long does it take before they're distributed back so other people can look at them?
Very quickly.
Okay.
Very quickly. It goes in and out. So
is there a means to report like errors?
Yeah, we'll have an ability for you to comment on a bad clue or send an email for support. And those are the kinds of things that when you get the app to try it, if you don't see something that you think would be really useful or you've seen in another app that you like. Joanne was in Watertown Square the other day, and she gave us some great feedback in that there were 3 or 4 buses that came to that same stop, but she couldn't figure, all she got was the next arrival, but there was a button that said to look for all of them, but the voiceover was such a long message, she didn't finish it. So he's like, you need to shorten that for people like me. So that was good feedback, because we could definitely make the word shorter so someone listens to the end. So she missed the whole next button down where you listed like 5 buses that were coming. And you know, the first one might be 8 minutes, the second one might be 20 minutes and 11 minutes, and then you can see which one is yours.
Aside from the micro-navigation stuff, the new stuff is great. Just having an accurate GPS coordinates,
yes,
which the MBTA didn't have. That is also extremely useful. I think you said you were integrating with Apple Maps and Google Maps.
And others, I think. Whoever has, so we are not solving the GPS problem on purpose. Those things exist, and we decided to focus on the little piece that wasn't fixed and try to spend our money there. Yeah, we will have a way for a user to move with a click between their GPS app back out to their GPS app if they were like, oh, it's 250 feet away to the next bus stop, I'm going to go back to Apple Maps.
It sounded like you were improving the accuracy of the coordinates.
Only for the bus stop location.
Arriving is not as crucial as getting on the bus.
Right, and they did say that...
Don't try to fix problems that really are already fixed.
That I'm trying not to do. Because there are plenty of ones that aren't fixed. They told me that most of the time only 1% of the bus stops are in play, meaning changing. But we do have that situation actually right around Perkins now because they're doing a lot of construction on Arsenal Street and Mount Auburn Street in our neighborhood. So what we can do is have someone update the clues or put a free form comment in to alert you to a change like that.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and attempt to show this app. Are any of you familiar with something called Waze, W-A-Y-S?
Yes.
It's W-A-Z-E.
Oh, is it?
Wow. Not ours, but there. Google's.
Okay. And that's a GPS app, right?
That is a driving navigation app based on crowdsourced clues.
So our app has a similar name, except we're called Blind Waze.
W-A-Y-S.
Right, Blind W-A-Y-S. So I'm going to open it up. Let me get some volume here.
Double tap to open. Blind Waze. Double tap to open.
Is that all one word, Jerry?
Blind Waze.
Yeah, it isn't
back
on
button.
iTunes yet. It's not on the App Store yet, but when you look for it, you'll find it in August, probably end of August.
Okay, so I'm just going to go through the main menu first. So I'm going to start, I think I'm at the main menu.
71, back
button. Yeah, and we don't have all the settings downloading in there yet. And everything, 24 so the login screens and all that for how the
search field is editing.
So
character mode.
It said 71. It's done.
Insertion point at end.
Ah, there's a search field, but it also, when you open the app, it loads stops that are near where you are right now. So let's just see what it came up with.
Clear text. Cancel button.
Let me cancel the search. Let me just tell you what tabs are on here. So there's nearby stops.
Saved stops. Button.
Saved.
2 of 2. Bus stop. 84 Massachusetts 8. Routes 1. CT1.
So
more
these
completed.
Are,
button.
These are ones that are near here.
Bus stop. 77 Massachusetts 8. Routes 1.
Right
CT1.
Here.
More clues needed.
Yeah.
Button.
And it's saying more clues needed for each of these because nobody's put the clues in yet.
Bus stop. Massachusetts 8 at Memorial DR. Route 1. More clues needed. Button. Refresh stops.
Okay, so that's the stops that it found. Let me just open up one of them, and we'll see what's happening with the next bus.
Bus stop, Massachusetts 8 at Memorial DR, Route 1. More clues needed.
Should we do that
button.
One?
Yeah, that's okay. Right.
Massachusetts 8 at Memorial DR, Route 1.
Okay, so I'm going to tab through here.
Bus arrivals. Next bus in 3 minutes. Route 1 to Harvard. Button. Current location. You are 28 feet away. GPS accuracy is good.
Okay,
current location. No clues for this stop yet. Add clues. Button.
So this is where somebody would go if they wanted to add a clue. And
add clues.
And that's
button.
Basically what you get for each stop. If I...
Massachusetts 8 at Memorial DR. Stop is not saved. Double tap to add to your... Route 1. Bus arrivals. Next bus in 3 minutes.
If I double tap on this, let's see what happens.
Done refreshing arrival times. 5 results.
So now it's going
to
tell me
Route
the
one
next
to Harvard.
5
3 minutes.
Times.
Route 1 to Harvard. 5 minutes. Route 1 to Harvard. 14 minutes. Route 1 to Harvard, 19 minutes. Route 1 to Harvard, 19 minutes. Route 1 to Harvard, 19
okay.
minutes.
Yeah, and those predictive
back
arrival
button.
Times come off the
back
GTFS
Select
and MBTA systems. So we're using the same ones that catch
back
the
button.
Bus, too.
Yeah.
Anybody have one they'd like to search for? Just give me a bus route number.
51.
Insertion point at start.
Okay, so these numbers are all in one row, so they're easy to deal with.
5, 5, 1, 1, search. Done searching routes. 3 results.
Okay, so we got
51 outbound to Reservoir button.
That's the outbound.
51 outbound to Union Square, Elston button. 51 inbound to Forest Hills button.
Okay, so which one do we want to do? Were there two outbound ones and one inbound?
You can do outbound or inbound.
All right, I'll do the inbound.
Downloading 51 to Forest Hills. Back button. 51 to Forest Hills. Heading. In progress. Downloading stops. Bus stop. Brighton Mabaw Quinday.
So it's good to know that it
button.
Lets us know. You don't have to keep tabbing.
Yeah.
It lets you know when it's finished.
51 to Forest Hills.
Yes.
Heading. Bus stop. Brighton Mabaw Quinday. More clues needed. Button. Bus stop. Chapin Street at Greenough Street. More clues needed. Button. Bus stop. Chestnut Hill Avoc Veronica
so
Smith
it's naming
CTR.
It
more clues
stops.
Needed. Button.
Users able to put in more clues, or that's something that you guys have to do?
No. Users can. All the users can put in clues.
Is there like limit to number of clues per stop?
Yes, we're trying to limit it to 5 because our testers have told us that's pretty much what they want from a mental map. What's in a 30-foot radius of the bus stop is really what you want. And, you know, I think it's going to be more targeted for cane users because won't the dog just go right past the obstacles? You'll tap on things as you go and say, although it might help if you know what the signpost is actually constructed of. well, and how far it is. But how can a dog user use this if they go right past the bench and the trash can and the...
It can be harder to find a bus stop with a dog than it is with a cane because the dog's taught to avoid things.
Right, that's the challenge with the dog. Yeah. So I'm wondering how folks would use this potentially if they had the dog. Do you also carry a cane sometimes? Or is it one or the other? I think the reason Google was interested in giving us the grant is they have not solved this micro-navigation problem. I would love for a major mapping company to sort of absorb this development work and do it. Perkins is going to lead the charge and prove that it's doable and show the concept, and we're going to develop as long as we can find money and sponsors to do it.
Can somebody give me a route that should have both outbound and...
86.
86?
Search field. Is editing. 8. 6. 6. Search. Searching. Done searching routes.
Whoa,
to resolve.
Fast. Okay.
86. Outbound. To Sullivan. Button. 86. Inbound. To reservoir.
There you
button.
Go.
Voiceover hints. You know, because on hints and on and off. How does it affect what we hear? What does it have any effect in this house? Because you could actually use that to your advantage to change the level of velocity.
Bus arrival. Next bus in 28 minutes. Route 1 to Dudley. Button.
I don't think the hints makes any difference here, at least not on where I am right now.
You could use that to turn on and off future information. For instance, you talk about selling ads. What you could do is you could sell the ads like we talk about the Tsuchis at an 86 stop, then that could be in the hints, and you don't have to tell the person you're selling the ad to that you could turn it off by turning off hints, and they'll never know that people are not
selling it. Oh, I like that. That's a smart man. And I worry about bombarding users with ads, but sometimes to monetize an ad, you got to go down that path, and then you could turn them off. So our goal is not to charge the users or the crowdsource contributors, but to find other sponsors to make sure we can continue to develop this. And I'm very excited about working with you guys, and thank you so much for inviting me to come.